B-Pod Studios.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What about Golden Tate? Let's get back to him real quick, Ian.
Yeah, one of the top receivers available right now. Obviously, big name guy traded from the Lions to the Eagles last year. Certainly has a lot of interest. I know a couple teams that were at the least interested in potentially trading for him last year have some interest in him this year. Patriots would be one. The Steelers would be another.
Okay, so there's Ian Rappaport saying the Patriots are linked with Golden Tate. Still holding out hope on that. I thought it might happen yesterday. I've been holding out hope. I'm not going to give up on that. And I still think that while there's been relative radio silence on Golden Tate, that's a good sign that the Pats are involved because they don't want people knowing their business and they're pretty good at keeping it under wraps. So any player that has been under wraps, I would say I would put on the Patriots' radar. And I would include Ndamukong Suh on that. I really would. Ndamukong Suh, Muhammad Wilkerson, Justin Houston. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. I don't want him, but I'm just telling you, haven't heard much about him. Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, those Packers, haven't heard much about those guys. So I wonder if the Pats are in on him. I'm still holding out hope that they are.
Yeah, me too. Look, again, and the receiving core concerns me more than anything because just the number of bodies that are left there, there just aren't many. Really, it comes down to, for me, it comes down to Crabtree, Cobb, and Tate. Those three guys. I was looking at the list today. Other than those three guys, there isn't anybody there I want.
And even those are questionable.
Right. I mean, you know, I look at Cobb and I say, I'm not sure he has anything left. I mean, I would take a chance.
Damaged goods.
Right. I would take a shot on a guy like him, but I would want him to be part of like a throwing a lot of crap against the wall type of thing. You'll bring in four guys. One of them's Randall Cobb. Fine. Crabtree, I like. But again, it feels like he's getting a little long in the tooth. Like all to me, they needed something certain. Tate feels like something certain.
Yes, a little more. For sure.
So, and their history in the draft is wretched.
Are they being willfully neglectful of the receiver position? Tom Curran said what they've done the last 2 years at receiver is laughable. He said that and wrote that at NBC Sports Boston. And Bedard, we had on earlier, will replay some of the cuts, says the Pats don't have the money to do anything really big. He says cap, I say money. But anyway, that's his point. Payroll issues are preventing them from doing anything, including, and I thought Jones made a great point last night, which is the Trey Flowers thing. Boy, you look at what Kansas City did with Dee Ford. Franchised him, had no intention of paying him. Real money, just franchise him, and that cap hold is on there, and then trade him. They trade him for a second-round pick. They maximize their asset. The Pats have done this in the past. They used to do it all the time. Did it with Tabucky Jones, I remember. Did it with Matt Cassel, where you don't have no intention to signing a guy to a long-term deal, but you franchise him, then trade him under the tag and get something for your pick, get something for your player. And the Kansas City Chiefs, who were going to get, you know, that sandwich third, fourth compensatory pick for Dee Ford, instead got a second for him. So they just jumped around by simply having the room, and that's all cap room. That's not even real money. It's just cap room. By simply having the cap room to franchise him for a week, a day, and then trade him. The Pats couldn't even do that with Trey Flowers. They didn't have the cap room, the funny room, the phony room to even do that. So like that one sort of stands out to me. So let's go. Back to your phones. Tom in Rhode Island. Yes, Tom.
The cap is crap, Felger. How many times have I had to listen to this?
So now you think it's crap?
No, I never even agreed. I don't care. But I just have to listen to you say it over and over. The cap is crap, right?
That's right.
I don't care. The cap is crap, right?
That's right.
So what's your point?
Well, it's the real money then.
The real? I don't even care about that.
No.
Who cares how they spend their money?
Tom. Trust me, the real money matters. The real money matters. We can debate the cap, but the real money, the real money, there's no debate. They have a budget.
They have a budget.
Yes, all teams do.
Yes, they do. Do they keep winning?
Well, yes.
Yes?
Yes, they do.
Okay, and I think Tony said something about blowing a guy. I wasn't sure.
Why? You got to cut that.
Two Thursdays in a row.
Here we go.
Seriously, though. That's right. Last week we were at the Garden when all these clowns started calling.
Thirsty Thursday?
That's two calls that we've had to drop because of, inappropriate language.
Well, that was really inappropriate.
Yeah.
That's never going to make it. Billy in Rhode Island. Hi, Billy.
How you doing, Father?
Good, Billy.
All right. I got a real good one for you. Listen to this. I'm off the cap. Believe me. I think it's money. But I think they made a couple of big mistakes. First one is Devin McCourty. I would have got rid of that guy. He's making too much money to be a safety and picked up another one. Secondly, Gronkowski, when he came in and told me he wasn't sure, I'd say, okay, I'll see you later, and I would have signed Tate the next day. The next day, he'd be in his team. And that would end everything. But they gave McCourty a deal. He wasn't worth it, and they could have got rid of Gronkowski right away and brought Tate in. End of story. Mission accomplished.
Okay, baby. Okay, Billy. I agree on McCourty. I like him on my team. You know, I think he's got a really intangible leadership quality.
No question.
Really a part of your DNA. And, like, I don't want to dump on Devin McCourty. I would like to think that those intangible qualities could be had for less than $9.5 million for a guy that really just doesn't make a ton of plays. Sets the defense and does all those intangible things. I'm not going to dispute that, but what's that worth? You know, he's paid like a playmaking safety, and which he's really not. He's not even put in a position to do it. So if Devin McCourty, like Dante Hightower, has told him to pound sand, do you have to cut me? They're sort of in a tough spot.
Yeah, but isn't he also kind of looked at as a deal at this point, considering some of the money that's been thrown around at guys like Earl Thomas and other safeties so far?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Earl Thomas got 11 a year. Is that what it was?
I thought it was like 14. But again, I'm going on the AAV. I'm not going on the guaranteed money.
I thought the AAV was 11. I don't know. I think Earl Thomas is a playmaking safety. I mean, there's health concerns, obviously, but Earl Thomas is a bad man. Devin McCourty is just a nice, solid pro who, you know, is good in the locker room. I don't put Devin McCourty in Earl Thomas's class. I don't.
So I'll tell you what. Like, I think look at it in relatively practical accounting terms as far as the NFL is concerned. Whenever they sign these deals, what do we say? They'll never see the money at the end.
Right, exactly.
None of these guys will ever see the money at the end. That it's really about what you get in the first 2 or 3 years of the deal. Everything else is phony money.
Four years, $55 million. I'm sorry. You're right, Mess.
Okay, so in the case of McCourty, McCourty's now going into the final year of that deal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he is, sir.
Rob Gronkowski's going into the final year of that deal, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
So these guys are getting to the final year of these contracts.
They're almost always restructured at this point.
And it hasn't happened. Why not? And are the players declining and saying, no, you got nowhere else to go. You got no leverage. Like, and again, for an organization.
In which case, you almost root for the player there a little bit.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, because of the way typically that it's gone down there. So it's the team's responsibility to go out and find affordable replacements, mostly through the draft. And if they haven't done that and they have nowhere to turn, what do you think? The agent, out of the goodness of their heart, is going to say, yeah, I'll take a $5 million pay cut. Yeah, no problem. With the way the Patriots have done it in the past, why would you do that? Like, to me, if... And especially if you're a guy like a McCourty or a Hightower or a Gronk and you've won multiple titles, what incentive is there for you to cooperate at this stage?
Well, it's in your nature. You know, that's what it would be, that you're a team guy and you're about winning championships and you're about the Patriots. And so I'm going to sacrifice for the team because I want to be here and I want to be a part of this. That's the only thing that's your incentive to do it. If you take just a pure business standpoint, as they would, as the team would, there's zero. You have leverage now.
Yeah, and I'm willing to. I sort of feel like with Gronk, don't you think Gronk's had to fight for it?
Yes, absolutely. But I mean, let me tell you, if they hadn't won last year, I think they have a much easier out with these guys. Devin McCourty, love you, mean it, but we're going to turn the page, and now it's time to sort of reset. Dante Hightower, same thing. You know, it's time to reset. Time to get younger, and we're going to. And it would be a natural sort of turning point. But the fact that they won again. And especially Hightower played so well in those playoff games. He's a different guy in the playoffs. They're now sort of, what, are you going to whack half the roster coming off a championship? These guys won it for you? Like, I think the team's sort of in a tougher spot with that.
Definitely.
I mean, and I do think Gronkowski's playing hardball. That I do. And maybe the other players are as well. So maybe they don't, you know, the days of Teddy Bruschi, no agent taking whatever the team gives him, maybe those days are coming to an end. But then again, they still have Jules. Jerry in Medford. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hi.
I just want to talk about Belichick and how, what a genius he is. You know, from 2004 for like 10 years with all the talent they had, they never won a championship. He wouldn't pay anybody. He wouldn't even pay Adam Vinatieri. And now you get to last year. If D Ford wasn't offside, they never would have got to the Super Bowl. The championship before that, if Atlanta had run the ball and not passed the ball.
Jerry?
Yes?
So, I mean, what's your point?
My point is that they have a very good team, and he's a good coach, but he's not as great as everybody thinks he is. That's my point.
Okay. I think a lot of things have come together. I would say that about all of them. Okay, we've been through this a million times. Brady wouldn't be Brady without Belichick. Belichick wouldn't be Belichick without Brady. They've gotten some breaks. They've gotten some bad breaks along the way as well, but they've gotten their share. It's a good era. So, I mean, like, I just sort of agree with that in general, but I wouldn't diminish what they've accomplished like you are.
I mean, they've gotten there 9 times.
That's not a fluke.
Like 9 times. Let's not get stupid about it. I'm just saying that the predicament they're in at the moment, I had not considered until Greg Bedard sort of spelled it out, that they don't have the financial freedom at the moment to necessarily do some of the things that we want them to do. And that, for me, as a Patriots follower, and understanding how shrewd they are down there, how smart they are down there, that to me is absolutely positively stunning.
And we will lay it out with you. We had Bedard on earlier in the 2 o'clock hour, so we'll replay some of that sound for you so you can get caught up on what he said about their finances, which I don't think enough people are talking about because I just hadn't considered it. But is it a factor here in what's going on? And if it is, again, I think it's real money, not cap money, because they can figure it out. But maybe the things they can figure it out with, the players aren't playing ball. Maybe they're not playing ball to give them that flexibility. So that's a whole piece to it. But does it really go back to the drafts? Are there not enough and not enough young, cheap talent on the team because they haven't drafted well? That's sort of what we're hitting on here. Let's get to Rob Gronkowski as well, the latest with him right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Mass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rob Gronkowski, I saw you said right the other day that he has not made a decision yet. When do you expect a decision, and do you have a gut feeling?
Man, I don't have a gut feeling because I spoke to Rob just a couple of days ago and he really is undecided. I mean, he's trying to take the time to think it through. He's taken a beating in his career, man. I mean,
he really has been through a lot of injuries.
He is a remarkable player and just a fantastic person. He's got a lot of things that he can do outside of football. You know, he loves football. He loves playing with Brady and Belichick and his teammates. He loves to win championships. But at the same time, the amount of pain and punishment that he's had to endure for somebody that can do something outside of football and be a huge success, whether it's broadcasting or acting or endorsements, Rob has so many opportunities. It's a tough decision to make. You know, I'm sure he would love to play football. But at the same time, he's got to consider where he is from a physical standpoint.
Yeah.
So I can't really tell you what I think is going to happen.
Okay. Rob Gronkowski. That's Drew Rosenhaus with Peter King on a Peter King podcast. I'll tell you what I feel this is. I feel it's all about money. I feel it's all about money. As it usually is.
Feels that way, doesn't it?
I feel it's all about money as it relates to his workload. Tom Curran and others have reported and are big on that Gronk wants to see what else they do at the tight end position or the receiver position. His workload. He's worried about his workload. I think that's true, but only as it relates to the money. In other words, if they said to him, here's $16 million, we're going to pay you like a high-end receiver, Gronkowski would say, Fine, give me the full workload. I'll play as much as you want. No problem. I don't care who the second tight end is. I don't care about schlepping out there 17 weeks during the regular season. Pad me up on Wednesday, play me on Sunday. That's fine. You want to pay me $16 million? I'm all in. But I think if they say, well, Rob, you're going to stay at nine or you're going to be cut, Rob's saying, well, then I ain't giving you that for 16 weeks. I'm gonna go and get myself beaten like a pulp.
Right. I'm not going to do what you want me to do for that money.
It all starts with the money. Right. It starts with the money. It starts with the money as it relates to his workload. The classic, we all have it. I'm working too hard for this wage. Simply put, I'll work this hard, no problem, but you got to pay me more. If you're going to pay me where you're going to pay me, then I'm going to come in less. It's simple, but that's really about the money, isn't it? And so that's what I think we are, and that's where we are with Gronkowski. And I know it because the follow-up question from Peter King, I could feel Rosenhaus's nose growing through the radio. Go.
I hope it has to do more with love of the game than wanting to make a little more money.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. The economics will have nothing to do with it. So, yeah, I mean, we'll find out. I do think it'll be some time. I just suggested that he take his time, and we'll all wait for his decision, and so I'll support it either way.
The economics have nothing to do
with it. Oh, this guy, please. So I asked you this morning.
Shut up.
Was he this vocal last year? When I say vocal.
No.
I don't remember this guy coming out and talking at all last year.
Definitely not. Yeah, and he's got a good relationship with Bill, or he has in the past. He's done a lot of deals with Bill. Bill does not, again, this is in the past. I don't know where Bill stands now. But I remember there was a time Bill was actually okay with the Rosenhauses. His brother is involved as well, and he was fine with them. And as such, I think they had a good relationship. And for the most part, when it comes to Rosenhaus clients with the Patriots, Drew has kept his mouth shut because he knows that's what the Patriots want. You know, he's not going to hold the press conference in the driveway like T.O. and next question. You know, he ain't doing that with Patriots players. Except this offseason, he's everywhere, isn't he?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's like, it feels like every other day this guy's saying something, whether he's yelling out his window or whether he's doing a podcast with Peter King. Because, again, some of those sound cuts that we played earlier were funny. It sounded like he was yelling out his car window, for crying out loud.
Or from the crapper.
But I don't know. Like, is there something to be gleaned from that? Like, you look at it and you say, last year Gronk ended up coming back. And maybe there was a level of discontent with the whole operation, so they strung it along. But Rosenhaus wasn't out there. This year now he is out there.
Because he's working it. He's working.
So,
he's working.
I don't know. I don't feel great about it either way.
I think Rosenhaus has tried to increase his profile this offseason because he's had a good one. I mean, he crushed it on Antonio Brown. Got him out to a new team and new contract. So I think Rosenhaus is feeling his oats on that one. But on Gronkowski, I think that's what it's all about. I think it's what it's all about. His salary is nine. And so I think Gronkowski says, well, if I'm stuck at nine, then I'm only going to give you 9 weeks. Or, right, I mean, maybe that ties into the Willie McGinnis thing, where he's going to come back. He plans to come back later in the season. And maybe Gronkowski says, just to round it off, I want to be $1 million a week guy. And so you're only paying me $9 million. That's it. That's what you're going to get. And maybe I think it all starts with the money. It all starts with the money, and the workload is related to that.
I mean, it does feel that way. When you lay it out that way, when you add in the Rosenhaus comments, the McGinnis comments, and the fact that, he does take a beating, and he was a blocker by the end of the year, for all intents and purposes, all of that. I mean, if I'm Gronk, that's what I would do. Okay. I'd approach it the way he's approaching. Hey, look, man, I've won enough. I've taken a beating. You want me to play? You got to amp it up. Otherwise, I'll think about it in November.
Real quick, just an aside, because it's the first time I'd heard it mentioned. Rosenhaus says there's a lot he can do outside of football. Acting, endorsements, we all knew that. He said broadcasting. Broadcasting.
No shot.
How do you think he'd be up in the booth?
Brutal. Brutal.
He's
just,
sure?
And I say this with all the love in my heart. He's just not articulate enough.
He's sneaky articulate.
I don't know.
That'd be
I don't
funny.
Know.
He's
so
funny.
Now,
he's
funny. So
he's got a great wit. He's got a great, countenance about him. He's got a great attitude and very likable.
I don't know how sustainable it would be, but for a season at least. I mean, look, can you get any worse than Jason Witten? So I don't know. Gronk might be all right as a color man.
Yeah, I just wonder. I don't know if that one's in his future. Like, and again, I love the guy. I just don't know that's a fit.
He'd be interesting though. Oh my God, TV. TV executives love ex-athletes. They just love them. They love them. They love the name of the ex-athlete, even though 90% of them really bring nothing to the table. Okay. And, you know, Maz is former sports writers. We fought this our entire career, where the program director, the news director, the TV executive wants the name of the ex-player, even though the guy says diddly squat because he's protecting all these buddies who are still playing, or he just doesn't want to rip players because he knows how hard it is or whatever.
Less than zero.
Oh, my God. So
they
you get,
say less than zero.
So you get the name guy who played who says nothing versus the writer who's willing to dig in and actually give you something. So that's a little bias on my part. That being said, well, no, just that. So there's some TV. You don't think there's some TV executive that would fall in love with the thought of Rob Gronkowski?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whether the guy could talk or not, whether he was playing with blocks up there.
No.
Or actually breaking down the plays, just being able to sell Gronkowski in the booth, they would love it.
Just be Gronk. So, again, there's someone that would try it. I'm just telling you, I don't know that it will work.
What's Tony Romo's salary?
Well, he's got to be making what?
Let's Google it.
It's got to be a few million at least,
doesn't
it?
Google Machine says... over the cap. Oh, sorry.
That's football salary.
Yeah, hold on. Wait. Murray, did you find it?
One sec here.
Tony Romo, CBS salary.
Four million per season.
$4 million a year.
Yeah. I was going to guess three.
Four, which is low. He'll be at 10 next time.
Oh, he's going up, whatever it is.
He earns it. I mean, he's good. He's that good.
I think he's dynamite. At the beginning, I was tooling all over him. I thought people were gushing over him for no reason. But he is. He's excellent. He might be the best one out there right now in game.
So look, Drew, with it's not about the economics. If the Patriots, especially if they're asking him to take a cut down from 9, and he can make 3-4 in the booth, and I think he'd command that out of the chute just because of the name, whether he could do it or not. Why would he? If the money's relatively the same, or let's just call it whatever, 3 or 4 in the booth, and then he can do endorsements or wrestling or whatever for cocked a thing on the side, he can easily get that back.
Right, piece it.
So why would he you know, bash his brains in?
I'm not sure he would.
For 17 weeks when he really could. I don't think there's any one thing that would replace a football salary, but I'm telling you, whether he could do it or not, and I wouldn't sleep on him up there. I think he'd be okay. I think he'd have a chance to be really good. I do. A chance. Why would he? Why would he go through this?
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't, which, again, to me, I wonder if this is all a factor, that the Patriots have limited financial flexibility. Again, define that in cap dollars or real dollars, however you want. Use whatever definition you want. Limited financial flexibility, and McCourty, Hightower, and Gronk won't play ball with him.
So...
And maybe Brady won't either.
As I'm just playing around with my Google, Jason Witten got between 4 and 4.5. He got between, and I haven't really narrowed it down. This is from a report from May of 2008, Washington Post, somewhere between 4 and 4.5 million per year. So ESPN looked at Romo and said, okay, if he's making that, this guy can be just as good or not. So I'm telling you, this is the kind of coin that I think Gronkowski might earn as a broadcaster.
So I'm glad you brought up Witten, because now that he's back in the league, didn't Witten sign a deal that has escalators based on the number of snaps he plays or something? If he goes over, I got to look it up. But maybe that's a factor for Gronk, too. Maybe he looked at that and said, you know what, look at the deal Witten just got.
Or maybe ESPN looks at it and says, we'll replace Witten with Gronkowski. More interesting guy. And give them the same salary. They've already got it set aside. I don't know. Broadcasting. I never considered that, Drew. All right. There's your Gronkowski thoughts. The latest in NFL free agency right here in the update. We're back to discuss this all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Ugh.
All right, back to your phones as promised. Couple open lines if you want to grab them at 617-779-0985. Interesting story out of Buffalo. You were in on Cole Beasley as well and lost out on him just like you did Adam Humphries. Interesting. And this is something Beasley mentioned at his press conference up in Buffalo, right?
Yeah, just a little while ago. He said his choice came down to the Bills, the Cowboys, and the Patriots.
Why are you shaking your head, Anthony?
Because, again, it feels to me like the Patriots wanted these guys, but they either got beaten to the punch or the
they can't front load the contract right. like some of these other teams.
Right. The bidding got to a point where they just couldn't do it the way they wanted to do it. And this, the reason I say it that way is because I think it relates to Greg Bedard's theory that they don't have the financial flexibility that they usually possess. They don't have it.
And why is that? Is it by design if you're being kind? And I think this is sort of the mistake we make, that you think everything's by design. Is it by design that they have so many older veterans that cost more than cheap rookies? Is that by design they chose to go in that direction? Or did they just whiff on so many draft picks that that's what they're left with? That's sort of what we're talking about.
I mean, that 2017 draft, too, was a killer.
Okay, we're going to reset all that stuff in a second, but I do want to get to some calls. James and Pitt. James.
Hey, how are you?
Good, James. You're up.
Awesome to see you guys. My big thing with the Patriots is Gronk is going to play. I believe he'll play. I think he wants the ball. He wants to go down the field and get his ass beat. But he can sit on the line and just block and let the guy run. Gordon, get him back. Dorsett, awesome pick. Golden Tate versus Grabtree. Come on.
I'd rather have Golden Tate. But he seems to be fine just with Gordon, Dorsett, Gronkowski, if he's going to come back. I don't even know if that's a guarantee. I mean,
there's two massive question marks on two of those three. Gronkowski, we don't know what his decision is going to be. And frankly, if I'm him and I'm looking at what the team is doing right now, and you want them, again, he said he wants to have his workload lightened. Why would he be rushing to come back? If anything, I'd be like, you know what? There's greener pastures. I'll go to the WWE. I'll go broadcast. Hell, I'll take Instagram photos of my hot girlfriend. I got money in the bank here. I saved it all, and I only, you know, he saved the endorsement money or whatever, vice versa. Either way, he's got money saved. I don't need this, especially when they're not going to bring in weapons to help lighten my workload. And then with Gordon, we don't even know if the league's going to reinstate him.
Give me a break. Come on.
I mean, maybe this is where last year really hurt the Patriots and they're negotiating with Gronk. Because they were looking for receivers all year. Gronk got hurt early, it felt like. And maybe he now looks at it and says, I'm not doing that again.
Well, and maybe the Jason Witten thing, which you mentioned earlier, is factoring into Gronkowski's thought process, which is I want a lighter workload, or let me see who else is there to see my workload, because Witten has what, Maz?
Okay, so there's basically an understanding between the team that he's going to play, with him and the team, that he's going to play about 25 snaps a game. It's not written into the contract, but that's the understanding. He's going to be out there for less than half the offensive snaps. And he has a chance to make, call it $4.25 million, maybe $5 million. Okay, $5 million is probably not realistic, but call it $4.25 million. But he's playing less than half the time. So I'm
sure the practice workload is going to be nothing.
Right. So maybe, again, this is Gronk's way of saying, well, the Dallas just did it with Witten. He's going to get less than half the workload and still make $4.25 million. So you want to give me $6 million? Fine, but I'm playing less than half the snaps.
And I ain't putting on pads on Wednesday. Forget about that. Here's Eddie in East Providence. Yes, Ed.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Tony. Hey, Mike, do you think anywhere behind the scenes has been a tug-of-war with the Gronk camp and him about, you're not a first ballot Hall of Famer right now. 4-time All-Pro, 9 years. You need one more. You need one, maybe two more to make it a slam dunk and do whatever you need to do. Do you think that's a possibility?
No. Ed, I don't know, but I doubt it. I think the far more important considerations are workload, money, what he can make away from football. Those are the things that are driving this decision, starting with money. Those are the things, because he does have other opportunities, and that relates to the workload secondarily. The Hall of Fame thing, if he ended today and is not a Hall of Famer, that's a disgrace.
Oh, he should be automatic.
So my feeling is he, you know, there's not a, they don't really do it like they do in baseball, first ballot, second, you know. Usually, even the best have to wait. So, you know, Ty Law had to wait, I don't know, 3, 4 years, 5 years. No shame there. It's not. So, whether Gronkowski goes in on the first year on the ballot or the second, does it really matter? It's not going to. He's in. He's in, and if he's not, it's a disgrace.
Yeah, to me, that shouldn't be a factor in his decision-making at all.
Cam and Taunton on the Pats drafting. Yes, Cam.
You know, I'm glad Greg said this, because I've been pounding this drum for years. They have, Matt, it's not just 2017. Since that Hightower Jones draft, they've drafted like crap. 2013, Dobbs, they didn't have a first, Dobson and Collins in the second. 2014, Easley and Garoppolo, sucked, traded. 2015, Malcolm Brown, Jordan Richards.
Cam,
26.
Let me stop you, because 2014, they also get James White.
But that's true. I'm just talking about the first and second round.
Okay.
It's 2016. They lost the first rounder for the Deflategate. Second round pick was Cyrus Jones. 2017, they traded it for Cooks and Ely. Sony Michel was the only first or second round pick you've made since Hightower and Jones that contributed last year in a positive fashion. And now it's catching up to him.
Okay, so that's it. But that's Bedard's point. Bedard's point is that it's catching up to them. Jimmy, run Bedard number six here. We just asked him, you know, what is this? You know, he says they got financial issues. Is this cap jail? Is this where they're at? This is what
they are certainly in a territory that I don't know if they've ever been in. It had to have been a while if it has gotten to that point. I don't think, because they've been great against the cap, and I am a fan of the way they manage the cap. It's just the drafting in recent years has caught up. Now, could a bunch of these rookies, whether it's Bentley or Dawson or, you know, all these guys, Isaiah Wynn, if all these guys start to hit, plus they get a couple contributors from this year's draft class, all of a sudden they're going in the other direction. But up until this point, they haven't had much to show in recent drafts. I mean, basically going on, you know, the last two drafts, they haven't gotten much out of right now. They had Joe Tooney in 2016. That's about it. And then you go back to 2015, which now everything's expiring. Brown, Flowers, Shaq Mason. You know, there is not that talented middle class coming up, sort of like that we saw in 2014.
Okay, so he thinks it starts with the draft.
I mean, he's right, I think.
And it's not by design, folks. Fans, again, we fall into this trap because they win the championship. You sort of work your way backwards and say everything they did worked and was by design. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, Bill coaches his way around personnel mistakes because he's just that damn good. But that's where they are with their roster. They have those middle-class veterans who make a little too much money because the draft didn't work out for them. And they've still won despite of it, you know, in spite of it, which speaks to the coaching end of it, but not the personnel end of it. And so, as you've been looking at it, even the trades in 17 that they made.
Oh, my gosh, really? When you go back and look at that 17 draft, because they didn't pick until the third round. Okay, so they traded the first for Brandon Cooks, and then they traded Cooks for a first, which I think was Isaiah Wynn, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so ultimately, long-term, they haven't gotten anything out of that yet. The second rounder was for Coney Ealy, bust. In the third round, they made picks. They took Derek Rivers and Antonio Garcia, neither of whom has given them anything. The fourth round, they traded for Dwayne Allen. They had a couple of picks in the fifth that they traded. One was for Barkevious Mingo. The other one was James O'Shaughnessy. Okay, number six, the sixth rounder, they actually traded the year before when they get Kyle Van Noy. Okay, so that one I'll give them.
Good pick.
Because Van Noy has worked out. And their seventh rounder went for Michael Williams, tight end from Detroit. They have nothing other than Van Noy from all of those picks. Nothing yet. Now, again, we'll see with Wynn. But that whole draft is like just one big black hole. Like that 17 draft gave them zip. So, Dietrich Wise out of that draft too, so that was fourth round. I don't want to leave him out, but even he has been was a little underwhelming this past year. I just think and Cam and Taunton is right too in saying that you can go back further than that. They really, when you look at it, boy, they've had a bunch of bad drafts in a row, and some of the guys that they did hit on, Flowers and Garoppolo, they let get away for nothing. Like, you could have franchised both of them.
Fans love those sandwich comp picks between the third and the fourth.
Oh, my gosh. Again, so two of the guys you did hit on left when their deals were up, and you got zip for them. Zippo. Nothing. Hey,
well, Garoppolo didn't get nothing. They got a second.
Oh, right. Yeah. I was thinking they should have gotten higher.
No, I understand. You're on a roll.
No, but they should have gotten more for Garoppolo.
They got porked on Garoppolo, but they did get something.
Okay, let me rephrase it. They undersold. How about that? They undersold on two of the guys they hit on.
We continue with your thoughts. I got a Sox call on the board and the Celtics call on the board as well. We can mix in those other things as well. I don't mean to shut you out. We'll get back to all of it right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
All right, we've been such wall-to-wall football the last couple days, and we'll continue to be. I just got a couple calls on the board on other stuff, so we can mix in some other topics if you want. Sort of ties into the Red Sox. You know, I said before, I wonder if the Sox are being a little too cavalier with their roster this year after how they won last year. In other words, they won last year with no bullpen and said, okay, well, we won last year with no bullpen. That means we don't have to have a bullpen this year. And is that dangerous? Meanwhile, they continue to lose down in Fort Myers. Did they lose again today? I know
I think they're going on still right now. I don't
it's
know
a tie. Game has ended in a tie.
I think they were, oh, good. Well, that's smart.
Yeah, so it's 8 in a row winless.
They're eight in a row winless.
Yep.
I think they had a lead late and they blew it. And again, I don't know who's pitching, Harry Schmedlap, but... Anyway, Paul in Tewksbury on the Sox. Go ahead, Paul.
So I know it's only spring training, and that and $3 will get you a cup of coffee. But last year, the Red Sox killed it down there, then dominated the regular season and won the World Series. But this year, I mean, at what point do we start getting worried that they're getting shelled down there?
Okay, I don't know. Maz, at what point do you start getting worried?
So I would say keep an eye on the last 10 days in camp, which is basically where you are now. I mean, really the last week. I always put an emphasis on the last week. And the thing you have to remember with them is that they haven't really pitched their regular guys. Okay, the starters are just getting going now. They did that on purpose. So am I worried about the bullpen? Yes. I don't put a premium on wins and losses in spring training. I just don't. It's useless.
Okay, but they opened the door last year by promoting how good they were in the spring last year.
And
so,
I mocked them for it.
Of course.
So I look at that now because I don't think they suck. Okay, they haven't won a game in the last eight. So I don't think they suck. I think they're a good team. But I'm worried about that bullpen, and I do think that they're a little too cool for school right now, thinking they got all the answers and that they're the cat's ass. Because they're not.
I just think, again, like with the Patriots and the receiver thing, are they just playing with fire? We won this way last year, so that means we'll keep winning this way. As opposed to saying, boy, that was a fatal flaw and we somehow got over it, so we got to correct it. Which, to me, would be the approach by saying we got away with one. We were lucky to win despite that deficiency. Instead, the Red Sox are sort of doubling down. Nope, we'll win again. And in fact, we're going to make that deficiency even worse. And I wonder if the Pats are doing something similar at the receiver position. Andy in Scituate on the Celtics. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, boys. Quick question. So even with the resource of the internet and everything, I still can't keep straight who we're trying to root against the Celtics' best opportunities in the draft. I guess we want Memphis to...
So let me stop you. You want the Clippers to make the playoffs. Because if the Clippers make the playoffs, then you get their first-round pick. That's the good news. The bad news is it's going to be 15 or lower. So it's not going to be a good pick. Memphis is what protected? I can't remember.
Top eight.
Top eight protected. Where are they? Do we know?
They're like, the last I looked, they had the seventh worst record in the league.
So they're in the top eight.
Correct.
Meaning you don't get that pick. So you
right, but that one could, if it...
It keeps getting better, right?
Right.
Like next
right.
year, I can't remember what it goes to, but next year is like... top whatever protected, and then the third year it's unprotected.
Correct.
So if you really want to go for the jackpot, you hope that Memphis stays protected the next 2 years, and then you get that unprotected kick at the can.
Correct.
Okay, so that's what you're rooting for on that. And then Sacramento, you just get, and it gets worse by the day. Sacramento's right in the middle of the
14.
Draft. 14 right now. I think they're the 9 team in the West.
Right now you're drafting 14, 18, and 21.
Okay, which is suck, and suck. Get ready for 3 Fab Mellos.
Oh, totally. I mean, with Memphis, they'd be way better off if that pick conveyed to 2021 even.
When it's unprotected.
Yes, absolutely. Way better off.
The thing I wanted to hit on with the Celtics, if we got to it today, was this James Dolan comment from the other day. James Dolan, the Knicks owner, who, you know, is just a flipping embarrassment of a person and a team owner. But he, you know, kicks that fan out of the Garden who challenged him walking out of the stadium the other day, saying, sell the team, and then... Dolan took away his ticket for life. Like, what a tool bag. But he goes on the Michael Kay Show on ESPN Radio in New York, and in the course of that, says this, and this is what I wanted to hit on.
New York is the mecca of basketball, right? And we hear from people all the time, right? From players, from, you know, representatives. It's about who wants to come.
Mm-hmm.
We can't respond because of the NBA rules, et cetera. But that doesn't stop them from telling us.
Right.
And I can tell you from what we've heard, I think we're going to have a very successful offseason when it comes to free agents.
Okay. So what he's saying is he's hearing from players and agents that we're coming here next year. We want to come.
He said just enough. So I'm fascinated by this lunatic. So I listened to this. This was the only part of this interview where he didn't come off as a rambling lunatic. This was the only part of this thing that was clear and concise. And he says just enough here to get away with saying, hey, we've talked to some players or agents without getting fined
without
and saying
tampering.
That they tampered.
I mean, meaning say, we can't say anything, but I can't help it if someone comes up to me and says something. I can't, you know, plug my ears. And so
after I heard this, I was like, oh, yeah, no, they're going to be a player. They have two slots for max deals. They're going to bring in someone. I think Durant, to me, Durant's a lock. Whether that's Kyrie that fills that other slot, who knows? But they're definitely going to get Durant, I think.
And the general feeling around the league.
So you trust this bozo?
That because of New York, it's the Knicks. It still has that allure, despite the fact that they're owned by this kook who thinks he's like a blues musician on the side.
I'll tell you, I made some calls around the trade deadline because there are a few people in the NBA I do know. And they all told me the same thing, which is a lot of the speculation in the NBA is crazy. But everyone thinks that the Knicks have something. Everyone thinks that the Knicks actually have something in their pocket.
I mean, the Porzingis trade to me is the tip-off.
Right.
I mean, that was just a salary dump.
Right.
I mean, I know they're bad. I know that's a joke down there. But could they be that bad to trade him for nothing? I mean, essentially, just to get rid of this, to open up the slot.
Correct.
That's all they did. So,
Of the egos in some of these guys. Sorry to cut you off. Think of the egos in some of these players, specifically Kyrie and Durant, right? Like, I do think that there is something that is alluring to guys like that if they could be the ones to finally resurrect the New York Knicks after 40-some-odd years.
Okay, so I think it's a real possibility. It's not because of him. Like, it makes no sense that anyone would want to go play for that.
Oh, he's the worst owner in all of sports.
That tool bag.
Without question.
But I think the players overlook it. I think the players want... You know, again, and I think in that league, it's about market, brand, money, chance to win. And if the Knicks, obviously, right now have no chance to win, but if Kyrie and Durant go there, are they the best team in the East?
Maybe.
Second? Third?
I mean, I think they're going to be the best team in the East if they get those two.
They're in the running, so there's a chance to win.
They win the lottery and get Zion Williamson.
They'll be max guys, and they have to love the allure of the market given the fact that they really don't give a crap about basketball and they just want to babble on about other crap, that's perfect for them. So I think they ignore the owner. They say opportunity to win, money, brand, market, etc.
Well, and in that league, the player has the power now anyway. So what are you worried about the owner for? So, LeBron leveraged him in Cleveland, and that was the end of that.
Like, it's so easy to laugh at the Knicks in that organization because they're laughable, but I wouldn't laugh at the threat of them landing those guys. Can I give you a Bruins 30 seconds?
Yeah, just quickly, though. If they do sign the two free agents, you know the league will rig the draft for them, so they will get the number one pick.
Okay, here's your Bruins 30 seconds, not even a minute. Do you know who Connor Clifton is?
Vaguely.
I just know that they brought him up from Providence.
I'm more fascinated by the other guy whom I've never heard of.
Have you ever heard of Paul Carey?
Nope.
Not to be confused with Paul Coffey. Paul Carey.
Any relation to Drew Carey?
Is that Jim's brother?
Paul Carey has just been called up from the AHL. Hot young prospect, you say? Guess how old he is?
31.
He's 30. He's 30. So this isn't some hot young guy from Providence calling up. They're calling up Reggie McKenzie. What was Paul Newman's last name in Reggie? What was Reggie's last name in Slapshot?
Dunlop.
Dunlop. Reggie Dunlop. Yeah, they're calling up Reggie Dunlop. They're calling some old fart from the AHL.
I saw the name and I went, who the hell is that guy?
Krug's out. Krug is out. Do you know what Krug's plus minus was in the last two games? -8. He was -8 in the last two games. -8. Do you know there's a whole Torrey Krug defense crew, like there's a Tuukka Rask defense crew? I've come to learn all these Bruins writers, because I talked to Ty Anderson on my FC the other night. He's like a huge Torrey Krug guy, and a lot of the guys that cover the team are huge Torrey Krug guys. These guys that cover the Bruins are unbelievable. They all circle the wagons and rally around the same bums. Claude, Shirelli, Tuukka, like they all defend the same guys over and over and over again.
Krug must be a good guy.
Krug is -8 in the last two games. He might have a concussion. He was sent home.
I didn't think that was possible to go -8 in two games.
-8. So here comes Connor Clifton, who has been sort of kicking around, and Paul Carey. And so when I see Connor Clifton, I'm like, where's Vaakanainen? Where's these other guys? Where are these other guys? Where's Zboril? How badly does Zboril suck that Connor Clifton, these guys, and Camphor get swings over Zboril?
Zboril got here for about 2 days earlier in the year, and they couldn't get him out of here fast enough.
First line tonight, Backes, Pastrnak. I'm sorry, I butchered that. Marchand, Bergeron, Backes. And even Backes said, I don't really belong with those guys. His comment today was great. Do you have it real quick, Jimmy? Just real quick. Here's David Backes when he's asked about skating with the first line in tonight's game. No? Never mind. I've gone over
it. I got to know. Jimmy, pull it up.
Yeah, I don't know if our games align very much.
Exactly, which is another way of saying
try to compliment those guys.
Yeah, no, I don't belong with those guys.
Because they're fast.
He says, I don't know if I belong up there. Second line, Krejci, Charlie Coyle, Dottenheim. Good luck tonight in Winnipeg.
Feels like a quiet line there.
Clifton and whatever, Schmedlap back on D. Never mind Reggie Dunlap up from the AHL. Scary times.
Shh. Krejci's got Heinen and who? Coyle?
So there's a segment on everything else. Back to your calls on all of it after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.